All right, well, we're in lesson 7, and I always forget to do the verses for some reason at the top. I always mean to, so you can write at the top by the consequences of rejecting God, and that's verses 24 to 32. Romans 1, we'll be learning about and teaching from Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 32. And so if you would, let's go ahead and stand, and we'll read these verses. For the honor of the Word of God today, let's all stand. Turn to Romans chapter 1, if you would. Let's start in verse 24. Now, as we read these verses, you'll understand that in our society, which changes generation by generation, these words I'm about to read could seem controversial. And as I read them, you might be thinking, whoa, what is he saying here? Well, to be honest, it's about how it sounds, and we'll expound that today. But I just want to make the qualifier in the beginning. While this is controversial for some, we're going to say what the Bible says, and we're not going to be controversial about it, and we're not going to say, this world is wicked, and I don't care, and so I'm going to tell them. No, we're not going to do that. We're just going to say what the Bible says, and we'll let God tell them, amen? And with a good spirit, and we love these people. We love all people. And we're just going to say what the Bible says. And God loves these people, by the way. And let's remember, as we read these verses, and there's more than just one sin in here, by the way. And as we read it, you'll see one sin that you'll want to focus on. But there's a long list. And here's what the truth of God is. He loves all of these people, and this is why he came. And he died to take the penalty for all of our sin. And we've been learning, haven't we, about the wrath of God. The wrath of God is real, and we deserve it, every one of us. And God loves us so much that he came and took his own wrath for us. And so let's remember that as we read. Are you ready? Verse 24. Here's what Paul says. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Now, when he says gave them up, it's not a specific people group. It's mankind. God has given mankind up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so in verse 24 and 25, he's giving a broad statement, summarizing in verse 25 what we've said, and then verse 24 is the result of that he gave mankind up to their own lusts, to dishonor their own bodies. Now, verse 26. For this cause, now God's going to give a specific example of that. God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. By the way, that word unseemly means shameful, doing that which is shameful, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now this is all of humanity. They are filled with all unrighteousness, and here's what they do. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are, say those three words, worthy of death. Yeah, they are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so Paul is making the case that all of humanity is worthy of death. We all are. And it's the bad news, and it's heavy, and it's going to be. And there's no light way to cover these verses. But let's remember what he did in chapter 3 and chapter 4, that he took the wrath of God that we deserve. Who deserves death? Humanity. Who died? Christ did for us. So praise the Lord for that. But that doesn't make any sense until we deal with what we're about to deal with this morning. So let's pray and we'll get into our lesson today. God, thank you so much. Thank you for loving us. God, even as we read today, you know who we are. You know who our flesh is and our sin nature and of our own selves, how much that we go against you and your plan, and how of our own selves we don't want to glorify and praise you, but we want to glorify and praise ourselves and others. And we're thankful for your loving grace and mercy that you saw our condition, you saw what we deserved, and in compassion, Lord, you came to be a human being, which is just, Lord, unfathomable to us, incredible to imagine that you would come and live among us who are so filthy, Lord, and undone. And then not only that, Lord, you continued to humble yourself to die and to take the wrath that we deserve. We're thankful. Thank you for your grace. Pray that you help us as we look at these verses. Pray that you help me to be a good teacher and help us to understand what your word says this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we'll just get right into our notes this morning. Romans 1:18. Now that started off the new section of Scripture. If you remember, verses 1 through 17 were an introduction mostly. And now in verse 18, he's beginning the gospel. Doesn't sound much like the gospel so far, does it? And it sounds really heavy. But for four chapters now, 3.5 chapters, he is explaining the gospel, which gospel means. Who can tell me what gospel means? If you know it, say it with me. Ready? Good news. About three of us said it. I think most of us knew that the gospel means good news. And the good news is only good because of the bad news that Paul starts with in verse 18. And so it begins with a very heavy yet very important and relevant truth of the Word of God, which is this: the wrath of God. The wrath of God. That's the blank there. Remember, wrath starts with a W. I don't know why, but it does. W-R-A-T-H. The wrath of God can be uncomfortable to think about. And by the way, it should be uncomfortable to think about. We shouldn't enjoy talking about it. We shouldn't enjoy dwelling on it, but it's reality. It is nevertheless true and foundational to a proper understanding of the gospel. You cannot understand the gospel until you understand the wrath of God. You cannot understand the love of God until you understand the wrath of God. Let's talk about that. The love of God is weakened without a proper understanding of the wrath of God. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's the blank. He died. If I didn't give you that blank, I'm sorry. You're welcome. No one was writing, so I'm like, I probably didn't put the blank in. But that verse says, God commendeth his love. He showed his love to us by dying for us. Why did he have to die for us? Look at the next line here. Jesus' love is shown in the fact that he took God's wrath for us. Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not his own son." By the way, see how that son is capitalized? God himself, part of the deity, God the Father, spared not. That means he poured out all of his wrath upon his son, but delivered him up for us all. And so God's love is shown in that God has taken our wrath. But that doesn't make sense unless we talk about the wrath that we deserve. Okay? Even John 3:16 mentions the wrath of God when it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." That's the blank. Should not perish. What does perish mean? It's talking about eternal hell that we deserve. And so mankind deserves eternal wrath from an eternal God because we've sinned against an eternal God. You know, I've heard it said this way, and I think it'll help us, and we might say, well, why is the punishment forever and ever? Why is it such a big deal? And I heard this, and I think it's really helpful. Think about some of the sins that we commit. Let's think about lying. If a kid lies to another kid, what's going to happen to him? Probably nothing, right? If a kid lies to his mom and dad, what's going to happen to him? Not going to be good. Let's just leave it there, okay? If you lie to the government, what's that called? Perjury. And what's going to happen there? You're going to go to prison. So do you see that? Same sin, but who you sin against is the problem. See that? Who you sin against. And as the authority of the person you sin against gets greater and greater, the punishment of that sin is greater and greater. Do you see that? And so you sin against your friend's not going to like you if he finds out, right? You sin against your parents, you're in trouble. You sin against the government, you lie against the government, you're going to prison. You lie against an eternal God, creator, and the punishment increases, you see? And as we sin against an eternal God, then the punishment is eternal. Is eternal. You see that? Are you getting that? And so we sin against an eternal God, and so we have an eternal punishment, which is what John 3:16 mentions, the word perish, which is eternal punishment in the lake of fire. But God loves us. And that's why John 3:16 is so powerful, that we deserve the wrath of God, eternal punishment, but then it says that he gave his only son, and his son took God's punishment, and then because he did that, we get to have, at the end of verse John 3:16, eternal life. And that's the love of God. And God didn't have to do that. And we're learning in Romans 1, aren't we, that we have no excuse. We deserve the wrath of God. God does not have to care about us. God does not have to have compassion on us. God has clearly revealed himself to us, and we have rejected him. And there's no reason for God to love us the way he does, but he does love us. And he decided to come and die for us, and that's incredible. But the fact that he came and died for us only makes sense, and only is only as powerful as it is, as we understand what we really deserve. And we don't deserve for Jesus to come and die for us, because we are all deserving of the wrath of God. Let's continue. We learned in our last lesson why the wrath of God is revealed or poured out upon man. That's what revealed means. And so it says it is revealed. So currently, the wrath of God is being poured out on man. God has clearly revealed himself to man, but man has chosen to reject the truth that he knows in his heart about God. And I hope that's clear to you now, because we spent 2 weeks on that, that God has clearly revealed himself, but we, as humanity, have decided to reject him and what we know to be true. And so God's wrath is justified, and man stands, as Paul said, without excuse of his wrath. And so that's what he said up to this point. But now in verse 24 through 32, the Apostle Paul gives a very clear picture of what God's wrath looks like as a result of rejecting God. And we know of the eternal wrath, but there's wrath that is poured upon man right now, and it's a result of man rejecting him. And so we'll get into that today. All right, number one, the ultimate consequence of rejecting God. And let's read verse 24 through 25. Verse 24 says, "Wherefore God also gave them up." God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." And so, in our lesson, in verse 24, Paul said that God also gave them up. That's what the blanks are. In verse 24, God also gave them up. He also said in verse 26, God gave them up. And then in verse 28, God gave them over. And I don't know about you, but when I read those words, it makes me cringe that God gave them up. The words gave them up carried the idea of God turning his back on humanity. Or the word is this, abandoning them. And now that sounds like not right, but it is. Let me explain. Abandoning, A-B-A-N-D-O-N-I-N-G, abandoning. That's what that word literally means, abandoning. So God abandoned them, gave them up. He stopped intervening. He turned his back. Well, what is that all about? It's hard for us to imagine that God would do that. But before fully understanding what that means, and I think in our mind as we hear that, we start having thoughts about God that aren't true, because we start to, what does that mean? And we make conclusions that aren't true. Let's understand and let's remember the context. That's the blank. Let's remember the context. Remember, Paul has just finished saying that God has made it abundantly clear to man that they were created to glorify and praise God. We all know that. In our heart of hearts, we know as a creature, there is a creator who deserves our praise, he deserves our worship. Paul said that very clearly in verses 18 through 23. So man rejected the true and living God and preferred instead to worship things that were created. Other humans, birds, animals, and then bugs and snakes. Do you remember that? We talked about that. Not only were they not glorifying God or thankful to him, but they tried to make the Almighty Creator no better than the things that he created. And it says that they worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. And so in verse 25, he qualifies God giving them up by summarizing man's rejection of God in verse 25. So what do I mean by that? So in verse 24, he says, and he makes the statement that's very clear, that verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And that's a hard statement. But he qualifies it, semicolon, by summarizing and reminding us what he just said. These people that God has abandoned in a sense, and we'll explain what that means, it's not what you think, but that God has given up to their own lusts. Here's what they did in verse 25. Who changed the truth of God for a lie. And so to exchange something, you have to have it. And God has clearly given them the truth of God, and they've taken what they know of God, and they have rejected it, and they exchanged it and would rather believe a lie. And they rejected God. And they have the truth in their mind, and they have the truth in their conscience, and they see the truth through creation, but they have actively and willingly rejected the truth about God that they know, that he's the creator, he deserves glory. And they began to accept a lie instead. And then they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. And so mankind has rejected God. Okay. So that's what he did. Now, let's number four. In verse 24, Paul, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so Paul wasn't out of line. This is the Holy Spirit who inspired this, said this, wherefore God also, that's the blank, also gave them up. Why did he say also? Everyone wondered that as he read through these verses? Why did he say also? Well, here's why. Paul was saying, man abandoned God, so God also abandoned them. Hey, it wasn't like God, the men were like, please God, help me, please. I need you, I love you, I need you. And then God's like, nope, hand in the face. That's not what's happening here. Look at number three. Remember, God went to great lengths through creation and conscience to reveal himself to man, but man has jumped over those hurdles. They jumped over their conscience. They jumped over the clear revelation of creation and made it very clear to God that they don't want him in their life. And so God has only given man what they so desperately want, to be left to live life without him. My friend, that's the human condition. That's where man is. They want to live. And us, by the way, we say they, we're saved this morning. I guess most of us are. And if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and that's a blessing. But we, even if we're saved, our flesh, we want to live life our way. We want that. We want to live life away from God. That's what our flesh is, and that's the, by the way, that's the pull of the Christian life, isn't it? That the Holy Spirit is pulling us to live for God and to surrender to God and live the way God wants us to live, but our flesh is pulling us to live our way and to reject God's way and say, no, I want to live life my way. Isn't that what Eve did? Isn't that what Satan tempted Eve with? He didn't tempt Eve with money and power. You know what he tempted Eve with? You can be like God. You know what he's saying? You don't need God. They were walking with God. God loved them. They loved God. But their sinful heart convinced themselves, and Eve's sinful heart convinced herself that it would be better to live away from God and live life without God. And if I eat this fruit, I don't need God anymore. And that is the condition of man. That is the sinful nature of man. And it's not like God is like, whatever, I don't care about you anymore. No, it's like man says, God, get out of my life. And God is not going to force himself upon anybody. And so he steps out of their life. And then they're left to live life on their own. You see that? And that is the condition of humanity. And by the way, if you never heard the word of God, if you never heard the gospel of God, you would be just as depraved as the list of sins we're about to read. Because that is the condition of man apart from God. Okay, letter B. God does not give man over to be judged. And I think as we read this, we think God gave them up. And so now he's like, you messed up, so now I'm gonna get you. Right? That's not it. Giving man up is the wrath of God. Giving man up is the wrath of God. Paul said in the rest of verse 24 that what God gave them up to is this: to uncleanness, to the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies. God did not dishonor their hearts. God did not put in them this lust. God did not make them and force them to dishonor their bodies. It is what has been in them, and all God has simply done is taken a step back and let them rule their own life. And my friend, that is the scariest thing that can happen, is for God to allow you to have your own way. People often view the wrath of God as God reaching down and striking man for ungodly living. But in reality, the most frightening thing that could happen to men is for God to simply leave them alone. I said blank, alone. C.S. Lewis is quoted as saying this: "The lost enjoy forever the horrible freedom that they have demanded and are therefore self-enslaved." What are you saying? You know what hell is? Do you know why hell is so terrible? Do you know why it's so horrible? It's because God isn't there. And on this earth, God is still present. But God fully leaves man to their own selves, and that is what hell is: the absence of God, to be separated from God. That's why it's so bad. Yep. But that's what the lost is wanting so badly, isn't it? And that's what we want so badly in our heart, aside from the Holy Spirit helping us and leading us and directing us, and the Word of God helping us. And that's why we need, by the way, that's why we need to come to church. We need to hear the Word of God, because if we're left to ourselves, we will naturally head to this direction where we push God out of our life and push God out of our life. And as we do that, then we destroy our lives. And that's what number five is. When God gives up, men literally destroy themselves. Men literally destroy themselves. And we ask the question, and people that aren't in church often won't come to church because of this question: why do bad things happen? If God is so loving, why do bad things happen? Well, God has tried to intervene, and he's showed himself to man, and he's trying to get man to live life the way that it has been designed to be lived, but man has rejected him, and then as man pushes God out of the picture, man does bad things. Because they try to live life without him. That's why bad things happen. Bad things happen because man tries to live life without God. That's why. Okay. All right. I know this is heavy. Yes. Yep. Often. Exactly. That's exactly what would happen over and over in the Old Testament. And man, I had a list of verses, but I didn't want this lesson to be forever. But I can get those verses to you. Throughout Scripture, there's times where God says, let them alone. And what happens? Their life's destroyed. Samson, God let him alone, destroyed his life. By the way, Proverbs, whenever Lady Wisdom, which is the Holy Spirit and God reaching to man, Lady Wisdom is saying, hey, follow me. And then Lady Wisdom says, because they regarded me not, basically they're going to destroy their life. And it says, I will laugh in their calamity. Now, does that mean that God is enjoying this? No. But here's the thing, is that it's what they wanted for us to, it's what we want in our hearts, to reject God. And then as we reject God, calamity comes. And we get what we wanted. And it's not good. So, yeah, I have a lot of verses on that that I can give to you later. Yeah, I was going to read something else, but I want to make sure we keep going. All right, number two. Okay, pause. First, number one, verses 24 and 25, what Paul did was give an overview. In verse 24, to dishonor, I'm sorry, God gave them up to uncleanness. It's a very broad term. And then to dishonor the lust of their own hearts is a broad term. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves is a broad term. Basically, he's saying this. Man, when God gives man up, then that is the judgment. And the result of the judgment and the wrath of God is that man will destroy their own selves. Okay? Now, in verse 26 and 27, here's a specific example. That's the blank. An example of the consequence of rejecting God. And now Paul, this isn't necessarily a digression, and I've heard it preached this way. Okay, so they did this, and then God did this, and then God, you know, gave them up to uncleanness. And then they kept rejecting God, so now God gave them up to, you know, vile affections. And then they kept rejecting God, and God gave them up to a reprobate mind. That's not it. He's re-saying the same thing. Man rejected God. God gave them up and allowed them to go their way. And in verse 24 and 25, that's just the principle, isn't it? Man rejects God, abandons God, and so God allows them to be abandoned, is essentially what's happening. And they destroy themselves. Now, verse 26 and verse 27, he's giving one specific example of that. All right, letter A. The result of dishonoring God and truth is to give in to unnatural, UNNATURAL, unnatural and dishonorable desires. Let's read verse 26 and verse 27. For this cause, what does he mean by this cause? The cause that verse 25 said, that they changed the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped creature more than creator. They rejected God. They abandoned him. They pushed him out of their thinking. Here's what happened. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Does that mean God gave them vile affections? No. God gave them up to their own vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And so let's go to our notes. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave a very specific example of what can happen when God gives man up to live life without him. Number two, Paul said, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, V-I-L-E, vile affections. The word vile means dishonorable. And so you can say it like this: when man ignores God and pushes him out of their thinking, they begin to have desires that are unnatural and are dishonorable. And you can say it this way: as man dishonors God, then they do things that are dishonorable. And so, by the way, the action isn't even the main problem. What's the root problem? That they've rejected God. And this is a result of the problem. This is a symptom of the problem. Number three, the desires are unnatural because they go against God's natural design for humanity. It says against nature. What does that mean? Against like Mother Nature and all, nature is beautiful. And that is true, but what is nature? Nature is the way God designed. God is the creator. And so nature is the way God designed things to work. And so this specific consequence is man rejecting what is natural. And when we reject what is natural, we are rejecting God's design. Number three, Paul didn't leave the church at Rome guessing about what unnatural and vile affections looked like. And he didn't stop in the first part of verse 26, and God gave them up to vile affections and moved on. No, Paul gave, and he didn't leave anyone guessing what he meant by that. Number one, Paul very clearly explained that homosexuality is a result of man rejecting God and his plan. And my friend, there's no way to say it other than that. And that's exactly what Paul meant, and that's exactly what the Holy Spirit meant. Homosexuality is a result of man rejecting God and his plan. Number two, Paul said to engage in homosexuality was to exchange. Remember, it's that same word. And so it's kind of a wordplay again, isn't it? Paul is saying man exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And so now he's reaching back to say man has exchanged what is given as natural and obvious plan of God, and they've exchanged that for a lie and something that is unnatural. And so to engage in homosexuality was to change what God has given as a natural design of their gender for that which is against his natural design. And so in number three, Paul made it clear in verse 27 that this behavior is unseemly, which means shameful. It's shameful. And it is not without consequences. And there are problems that come along with it that we're not going to get into. But as we live life a different way than how God designed, it always causes problems, and this is no exception. And so, letter B, why? Why did Paul focus on homosexual relations, especially since it receives little attention? That's the blank, little attention elsewhere in his writings. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Timothy 1, it mentions these things, but it doesn't really deal with it like he did right here. Why did he focus on it? Probably because it's the most obvious illustration. And I'm convinced that's why he dealt with it. It's the most obvious illustration of that which is unnatural or contrary to God's plan. One of the most obvious and natural truths about humanity is that they were intended by God to have sexual relations with only those of the opposite gender. It's obvious. It's clear. Man knows it. You can tell. It's obvious that they were intended for man to be with woman and for woman to be with man. It is one of the most obvious truths of humanity. And it's a very clear illustration and example of the confusion that results in man when God gives them up to figure life out without him. And so, I want to say this. Homosexuality is not why God gives up on man. It's not like, all right, now they're over, it's too late for them. That's not it. It is a result of God giving man up to their own lusts. And it is just one of the many sins that man commit because they have given up on God and pushed him out of their thinking. And so it's not necessarily worse than any other. And that's not the point he's making. This is the pinnacle of evil and wickedness. It's like when you get here, you've reached the pinnacle of wickedness. That's not what he's saying. He's just, here it is. It's the most obvious and clear and visual illustration of what every sin is, which is to reject God's plan, to obviously and plainly see what God wants, and to reject it for something that doesn't make any sense, by the way, which is everything that is against God's plan. Everything against God's plan makes no sense. Why? Because everything that goes against God's plan brings problems, and it never works out good. But man continues to reject what God has created and what God has made to be pure and right and to be enjoyed. And mankind rejects that, and they accept something that makes no sense, that they figure up out on their own mind, and over and over and over again they destroy themselves, and they receive the recompense that was meet for their sin. Let's not get caught up, but Paul is making an illustration here. So, just wanted to say that. All right. Number three, the broader view of the consequence of rejecting God. And so, in the beginning, God gave the principle, and then we just saw an illustration, one example, to illustrate what he just said. And now he's giving a broad view. Letter A. Let's read verses 28. No, we already did. Remember the long list? Yeah. Okay. Letter A. After Paul illustrated a specific example of what happens when God gives man up to his own lusts, he gave a broader view of the depravity of man. Letter B. Paul again stated that because man pushed God out of their thinking, God responded by giving them up. That's what he said in verse 28, isn't it? Look at verse 28. Again, he says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. This isn't a progression downward. He's just re-saying again what he's been saying. Man pushes God out of their thinking, and as a result, God gave them up over to a reprobate mind. Because man rejected God, God rejected man. But really, what's happening is man rejected God, and God has just allowed man to do that. And it's like God is here, and God is showing himself to man, and man is there, and they're like, leave me alone, God, leave me alone. And for a while, God doesn't, and God reveals. But eventually, God just says, okay, and man takes off to wreck their life. All of humanity does this. Yep. And so that's what happened. Now, let's see. Number one, remember, it is not like God did not reveal himself. God did and does reveal himself. The harsh reality is that man purposefully and willfully pushes God out and refuses to acknowledge him in their life. I want to pause and say this. If you don't believe that's true, just think about any time that you've done something that was sinful. What did you do? Just pick it apart. Here's what you did. You knew what God wanted, and you convinced yourself that that wasn't the best way and rejected it. And then you did a thing that you thought was better than what God said to do. Do you see that? This is the essence of sin. This is what sin is, to reject God's plan and do our own plan. That's just what humanity does. That's what we do, especially without God and the Word of God confronting us. And ultimately, it's this that we all know, is that there is a God. It's what all man knows. Not all man has the Word of God. And the sad truth is, not everybody has heard the gospel. But every person that's ever been born, we know, because of Romans 1, every human being knows this. There is a Creator. There is a God. And He is eternal. And He is deity. And He deserves my praise. He deserves to be glorified. But I don't want to do that. I want to glorify something else that I think should be glorified instead of God. That's what all humanity has done. And it's the essence of sin. Okay? So remember that this is what man has chosen. Number two, this time, Paul describes what they were given up to as this, a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And so reprobate means unfit. That's what it means. Reprobate means unfit. disqualified. What does that have to do with anything? We'll explain in a second. Not convenient means not proper or unfitting. Not proper. Paul said that what they were given up to was an unfit mind that would lead them to live lives that were not proper. Say it this way, a mind that sees God as unfit to be retained in their knowledge is unfit to live life properly. And that only makes sense, doesn't it? Because God is the one who created life, isn't he? He's the one that designed the laws of living. He designed gravity and all the physics and all the chemistry and all the biology. God designed all that, but he also designed the laws of morality and the laws of living. And as we push against what is the design, well, then we can't do what we're supposed to do. Right? If we reject the design, then it's not going to work. And there's going to be problems, and we're unfit. Right? If we're driving a bus, and there's a brake, and there's a gas, but we say, no, that's the gas, and that's the brake. That's not going to work. Yeah. So anyway, it doesn't work out. It's reprobate. It's unfit. Disqualified. If you think the gas is the brake, and the brake is the gas, you are unqualified to drive a bus. Please don't. And if you don't want to live life and you reject God's design, then you are unfit to live this life and there will be problems. Does that mean don't live life? Is Paul calling for all humanity to die? No. But here's what's going to happen. Your life is going to have a lot of problems. A lot of problems. You're going to destroy yourself and you're going to destroy those around you because you've rejected what is the natural design. Number three, it is not as though God said, okay, you don't want me in your thinking? Then I'll leave. And then I will give you up to a reprobate mind. That's not what he's doing. What has happened in the heart of every man before he is saved is they say, God, you are not welcome in my life or in my thinking. I want to live life my way. And so what happens is, as a result of that, God simply lets them go. And they destroy their lives and the lives of those around them. Yes. You can't disagree. That is exactly what Paul said. It's exactly what Paul said when he said, give them up. And I'm not making up any of this. I want to make that clear. I'm just saying what God says. And I know that if people were to bring this up online and watch it, they might get upset. And there's going to be some in our world that are like, he hates people. That's not true at all. No, it doesn't matter what the society thinks about what the Bible says. I'm called to say what the Bible says. And this is what the Bible says. This is what God says. And by the way, God doesn't hate these people. God loves them. But that does not mean that they did not reject his design. So the wrath of God is a reality for those who reject his design. And by the way, what we're talking about now isn't even just the sin of homosexuality. That was just one of the examples. Let's read this list. Are you ready? Letter C. When man pushes God out of their mind, what is in them comes out. What is in them comes out. Let me stop and say this. When man accepts that there's a God, then, and there's a lot in America, less than there used to be, and in our society, that although they don't understand who the real God is, they understand there is a God, and they know that they'll be judged, and so they act good. Are you getting that? They realize there's a God, even though they're wrong about who he is, but just the realization that there is a God keeps them from doing some stuff. It keeps them from murdering people because they'll be punished for it. It keeps them from lying because, you know, they won't murder people. You'll get in trouble by the law. But some people don't lie all the time. They lie some, but they refrain themselves from lying because they think, okay, well, God still knows, even though they don't know who God is. Are you following me? The basic knowledge of God keeps people from doing stuff. But as God, listen, as man pushes God out of their mind, out of their thinking, and they move further and further away from the realization that there is a God, then what is in them is unbridled. And it comes out. And this is what is in all of man, you included and me included. And if not for God restraining us, and if not for us hearing the word of God, and if not for us being introduced to the God who is, and if not for the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us, this is exactly who we would all be. In verse 29, Paul says this, being filled with, the blank is being, B-E-I-N-G, being. And so in the rest of verse 29 to 31, 23 specific sins are mentioned. In a casual reading, it might seem that a result, it might seem like he's saying this, a result of rejecting God is that man is filled with these sins. So before they didn't have these sins in them, but then they rejected God, so now they have these sinful thoughts. That's not it. Nope. Paul said being filled. That means they were already, that's the blank, they were already filled with these sins. And by the way, you are filled with these sins. And there's a part of you that wants to do these sins. And you might say, man, am I really saved? Because I still have these desires. You will, because your flesh is there. And we are filled with this. But number four, when God gave them up, all the sinfulness that was already in them began to pour out. And the further that man pushes God out of their mind, the more that they will do these things. The reality is that all of mankind is fully capable of any or all of these 23 sins and the sin we already talked about, by the way. We're not any worse than any other human being. We're all equally terrible people that the grace of God restrains. Number six. It is only the mercy and grace of God in our lives that keeps a person from pouring these out of their lives. Number seven. However, if man pushes God hard enough out of their thinking, the evil within them will pour out. Number two. Here's a brief explanation of the 23 sins. Now, I'm not going to read all these. You can read these on your own, but I'll just read the actual sins, and you can read the brief explanation of them, okay? Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. Who of us have never coveted? Who of us have never done anything wicked? Maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful. And my friend, if there were no consequences, we would do all of those. You might say, I would never murder. Well, that's because you know the consequences of murder. Right? But if you can murder somebody that you don't like, and there were no consequences, and everyone would think you're great for doing that, you would do it. Why? Because, and by the way, that doesn't, just because we won't do it because of the consequences, that's not a godly reason to not do things. It keeps us in check, and it's the grace of God to keep us from wrecking our lives, but the reason we shouldn't do these things is because God said not to. That's the reason we should. But no man thinks that way without the grace of God. But man doesn't want, out of self-preservation, I'm not going to do these things so I don't get in trouble. That's what man does. And that's why not every one of these sins is being always committed at all times. Because man self-preserves himself and says, I don't want the consequences of murdering. I don't want the consequences of even things like maliciousness and envy because I don't want people to not like me and I want to survive in this society. And that part of that is the grace of God to keep you in check from wrecking yourself. But in the end, that's not a godly reason. Are you following me? Self-preservation and not getting in trouble is not a godly reason to do what God says. The godly reason to do what God says is that he's God. And he deserves for me to obey him and honor him and glorify him. You see that? Okay. Letter D. Those who live this way, and by the way, that's everybody before salvation, and us our natural tendency is still to do these things. Know that they deserve the ultimate judgment of God, yet they continue to live ungodly lives and approve of ungodly things. Now that's a bold statement, Brother Chad. What do you mean by that? How do you know that? Well, it's not my statement. Verse 32. After the big long list, Paul says, who, what's that word? Knowing the judgment of God. Everybody knows that these things are worthy of judgment, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Even though they know that there is a God who will judge them, they not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's quickly read this. Again, no matter how far they have suppressed the truth, God has placed every man to know the judgment of God. All of man is without excuse of his judgment because they willingly have rejected him to live life their way. Because of their ungodly living, they currently live with the wrath of God as they destroy their own lives, but his wrath will culminate in the lake of fire as God leaves them to the natural, that's the blank, eternal consequences of sin if they don't repent and turn to God. I'm going to turn to the gospel. Number four. That man is willing to destroy their own lives is one thing. But the heart and mind void of God delights in dragging others to destruction as well. And so Paul says they do not only the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And this is the condition of all man. And this is the condition of you and me as well, by the way, without God. We are only good because of God's grace. Anything good we do, and any evil that we don't do, is only because of the grace of God. Let's read this really fast. Number four, Christians can invite the wrath of God by pushing God out of their thinking. Letter A. We must be careful not to look down on the lost for living in sin. I think we focus too much on that. We say, I can't believe our society. Why can you not believe our society? They're pushing God out of their thinking. It's natural, and it's who you were. And that's what Paul told Titus. Such were some of you. We were all this way. Why are we so upset with people when they're corrupt and when they're living in sin and they're living in fornication and homosexuality and covetousness and corruption? This is humanity. This is you without God's grace. Letter B. We must walk in the Spirit. Capital S. P-I-R-I-T. And not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so, by the way, the reality is, even though you are saved, it is still a propensity of a Christian to live this way. And we have to make a choice. Now, we have the choice. The thing that when we're upset with the lost, they don't even have the choice. They have to follow their flesh. And they have to weigh their options. Will I get in enough trouble? Am I willing to accept the consequences? Or do I want to do this sin bad enough? Well, those are two sinful actions. That's pride or pride. Preserve myself or do what I want. And we get upset with the world for living this way. This is their choice. They choose that because they don't have the Spirit of God helping them. But as a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and we have the choice. And we get to choose how we respond. And by the way, as we rail against the world, that is we are at a greater condemnation because of that, because we have the Holy Spirit, and we have still chosen to react in a way that is ungodly. Let's love people. Let's see these sins that we listed and not with hatred and anger and annoying and frustration, but let's see these in compassion and say these people need God. And who's going to bring them? God. God has called for us to do that. God has called for us to confront man in their sin and show them the way that they can have eternal life. By the way, just as we have received eternal life. Amen. God is good, isn't he? He loves people. He's gracious. And let's be a part of God's grace. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that even though you know exactly who we are and what our tendency is, what our heart is, that you love us and you're reaching out to us and you've revealed yourself and you've given us the gospel. Thank you for that. Help us to make the gospel our mission. As we learn these truths and we understand the condition of humanity, Lord, we understand more and more how desperately they need the gospel. Help us to make the gospel our mission. Help us to have compassion on the lost and introduce them to you. Lord, we love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.